Authentic Wellness Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to episode number 48 of Authentic Wellness Radio. Super excited for today's episode. Got a very good friend of mine on the line. In fact, she's been on for almost an hour and we just realized we haven't even started this radio show at all. We've been talking nonstop, just bantering. But my guest today is joining us to talk about the art of eating clean. Her name is Amy Valpone. She's been on the show before. She's the founder and editor of the amazing Healthy Apple, or the Healthy Apple, I should say. She's a holistic health coach. She's a culinary nutritionist, celebrity chef, and has appeared all over the place, like on Huffington Post, Martha Stewart Radio, Fox News, and the Food Network. She's the author of The Holiday Cookbook, The 3-Month Anti-Inflammatory Meal Plan, and her new book, which is what we're going to be talking about and running through today, is called Eating Clean, The 21-Day Plan to Detox, Fight Inflammation, and Reset Your Body. She's joining us today right now, live from New York. Amy, how are you going?
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you on. Now, what I wanted to bring you on today, I mean, my audience is pretty clever. I've spoken to a lot of them over the last year or so, and they kind of get everything that we'll be talking about today. So I wanted to dive in a little bit deeper. But I thought we could start out with a little bit about your story, because you've suffered from a lot of different things. Not everyone's going to relate to this very closely. In fact, I'd say most people haven't experienced everything that you've listed or that has happened to you, but a lot of people will have experienced something that's happened to you. So flashback a couple of years ago, Amy, you're in your mid-20s. You were a marketing professional who'd worked with people like Ralph Lauren. You'd worked with Vogue. You were beginning a job with the NBA. And everything looked like it was going well for you in your life, but you weren't too well. What was happening to you back then?
Yeah, let's see. I was about 90 pounds. I could not gain weight. And my legs started swelling with about 40 pounds of fluid every day. And doctors had no idea what was going on with me. They told me that I was crazy. They put me on steroids, painkillers, and water pills to try to figure out what was going on. And they were giving me bone marrow biopsies, thinking that I had leukemia because my white blood cells were so chronically low. Obviously, I did not have leukemia, but it spiraled into 10 years of chronic illness and, you know, one diagnosis after the other, everything from Lyme disease to being given 24 hours to live with C. diff colitis, hypothyroidism, chronic candida, leaky gut, you know, it goes on and on and on. And that's really when I started to try to understand what's going on in my body and how can I get to the root cause.
Now, it's interesting because you talk at the same time about these kinds of things as what happened in your childhood. And it sounds like a largely normal childhood. I mean, some of the things that you speak about is that you wore sunscreen, you used bug spray when you needed it, your mum cleaned floors with things like bleach and she cleaned your plates with Tide, your dad used all kinds of lawn pesticides. And you think that this had quite an impact, this kind of low level but chronic exposure to these kinds of toxins and pollutants, and you think they had a bit of an impact on you. So what exactly is the story with all these things that everyone's doing that appear to be normal, but in fact aren't?
Yeah, well, I mean, we had no idea back then that any of these things were chemicals, which they really are. But now when we look at things, that's why people make their own cleaning products, make their own beauty products, or use cleaner, you know, homemade, you know, nice brands that have very few chemicals or no chemicals at all. And I always wondered and asked myself, like, why are people spending money on eating organic food? And why are they spending money on green cleaning products or healthier beauty products, clean beauty products? I never got it. Like, the light bulb never went on for me until I realized, oh my gosh, non-organic food is just filled with chemicals, right? Growth hormones, antibiotics, pesticides, herbicides, which are all chemicals. And then, you know, our cleaning supplies, our personal care products, our deodorant, our beauty products, everything from our chapstick to our lipstick to our, you know, face wash at night, our toothpaste is full of chemicals. And no one ever taught me this. And I had to discover it all myself. And it's not to freak anyone out and have everybody running around their house, like, you know, throwing everything out. But it really is just about being mindful and eliminating as many toxins as you can, you know, because all of these toxins are burdening your liver on a daily basis. So if you think of all the toxins we're exposed to on a daily basis, everything from tap water to car exhaust to, you know, things in our food, plastics, you know, and then you add all these other chemicals that we put on our body or the deodorant that we put on or what our clothes were washed in that day, any of that kind of stuff. It's getting absorbed into our skin, right? Our skin's our biggest organ. So everything you put on your skin goes into your bloodstream. So this is what why it's really so important to clean up your life and really look at where the chemicals are coming from. Take those products out and really start cleaning your life. So that's why the book is really focused on clean eating and clean living.
Mm. Now, obviously, not everyone's going to be affected by these low-level exposures to toxins in the same way that you are. For one, Exactly. You don't methylate properly, and I don't methylate properly either, but that's one reason why you potentially were affected so badly. But how much do you see these kinds of things being an issue for just the general public or people at large?
Well, I think a lot of autoimmune diseases are, because of a lot of the toxin accumulation, and there is something, you know, the gene called MTHFR, it is methylation. And if you're missing, you know, one or two of the genes, you do need to support your body on a daily basis to be able to detox. So you and I could, you know, say you didn't have the MTHFR, you know, just kind of like handicapped like I do. And you and I were eating, you know, conventional apples and living in a house with mold and exposed to all these chemicals. But you don't get sick and I do. So doctors, you know, and the government, whoever it would be, would say, you know, there's no way it's something in the house or there's no way it's chemical exposure because one person was sick, one's not. But that's really untrue because I'm not able to urinate it out, come out, you know, have the toxins come out in my feces to sweat it out, whereas you're able to do that. So as you can see, over time, my body started accumulating all these toxins and getting sick. And that really, you know, along with your gut health, you know, obviously with toxins in the gut, really starts to lead to a lot of these autoimmune diseases or everything from like arthritis to acne to eczema, different things like that, that are starting to affect our microbiome and our body.
So where does it start before it actually gets to the, I don't want to say the word disease, but the actual illness level? So whether it's arthritis or colitis or leaky gut syndrome or anything like that, what are the warning signs that, that someone can pay attention to for, or that indicate this exposure?
Definitely. So, I mean, it happens to everyone. Everything manifests in everyone in different ways. You know, that's why some people get headaches, some people get backaches, some people get eczema, some people get, you know, whatever it may be, autoimmune disease. And all of us are so different. And it really depends, you know, epigenetics. It depends on our environment. So how are we eating? How is our stress level? You know, do we have love in our lives? And not even romantic love, just like, are we happy? Like things like that, that are really starting to affect people and they're able to change a lot of the things that are going on in their bodies. But I mean, you know, definitely, I mean, I'm sure you know a lot of these things, like, you know, dark circles under your eyes, weight gain, exhaustion, insomnia, you know, being bloated is a really big one, headaches. You know, and most people just live off of things like, you know, here in the U.S., Advil when they have a headache, or Tums or Mylanta, you know, when you have a stomach ache. It's like over-the-counter pills or, you know, prescription drugs. And, you know, those are Band-Aid approaches. They should only be used, you know, in very, very few instances, but people just rely on them daily. Even asthma and arthritis, even asthma and allergies, you know, those are two, you know, forms of kind of like a buildup. I just realized with myself that, you know, every spring and fall I was getting allergies and it ended up being candida in my sinuses that was causing that. So I had no idea. So for many years, I just took over-the-counter or the doctor gave me nose spray or something, but I was never addressing the problem.
Mm. Which does seem to be a very important theme that you talk about quite a lot, is getting to the root of it. Now, flashback a little bit. You're in this state where you're unwell. You've been bounced around from doctor to doctor, and you've realized that there's something going wrong with your health because you're basically bedridden. So you went to go and see a nutritionist to sort out what it was that you're actually eating. What did that nutritionist tell you to eat?
Well, I was in the hospital with C. diff colitis, and they told me to eat more red meat and dairy and wheat. They were giving me, like, white Wonder Bread. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I've been lactose intolerant since I was a kid, and gluten started to bother me in college. So those things were not on my list at all.
So you were given things like antibiotics as well, is that correct?
Yes, loads and loads of antibiotics for candida, for something called SIBO, which is small intestinal bacteria overgrowth, for the C. diff colitis. I was on morphine with that, obviously, but there were antibiotic rounds after antibiotic rounds. I mean, I was probably on maybe 10 to 15 rounds of antibiotics in 10 years, including Lyme disease too. I had started with the antibiotics for my Lyme disease treatment, and you'll love this. It turned my tongue black after the second day, and it looked like I had triplets in my belly. And I'm like 5'2 and 100 pounds, so you can imagine what I looked like. My tongue was pure black, and I called my doctor, and he was like, oh, you have something called hairy tongue, which means it's mold and candida in your gut. So I had to stop the antibiotics, thank God, but after 2 days. So that, it just goes to show what antibiotics do to your body.
So what did it feel like then? Did you feel like you were a lab rat, or you were just, people were just experimenting and playing games? Like mentally, where were you at?
I have to be honest, I think I was just numb for 10 years. I really do. It was, I just turned 33 2 days ago, and I look back and I'm like, I still feel like, because I missed kind of all my 20s, right? So I'm just like, I don't really know what age I am. I don't really know where I am. But no, it's all good. It's all great. I mean, coming out of it is mind-blowing. Feeling good is, it's incredible. And I just started to be able to feel good, within the last like 9 months, which has been really great. Now I'm just working on some hormonal imbalances, which has been really interesting. And I've been learning a lot about that. But it's been pretty crazy. And I've actually, I know we've chatted about this. I've been doing a lot of mind body on myself as well, and mind body work, at the end of the treatment, which has been helping me a lot. But it's been quite a journey. I really don't know how I did it or how I made it through. There were definitely times where I wanted to give up, numerous times. But I said to myself, if I make it through this, I'm going to dedicate my life to helping people and showing people that it can be done. And somebody who's had, tens of, diagnoses and been through everything, been thinking that you were going to die about 5 times, you can make it and you can do it. And you really have to take charge of your own health. Doctors, Western medicine doctors are wonderful. If you're having a heart attack or if you're, you break a leg or something like that, but they're not understanding the underlying imbalances in our bodies. And that's really what we need to address, because many of us are stressed out and exhausted and not getting enough sleep and not eating the right foods, and little organs, slowly are starting to shut down, and everything is connected. So we realize if your liver is toxic, it's going to affect something else. So you start to realize all of this is really connected, and really coming into a whole, as you know, which you practice as well, mind-body approach. And it's not just, it's not just food. It's not just meditation. It's not just yoga. And it's not about dieting or depriving yourself of anything. It's about enjoying life, but realizing we're exposed to these toxins on a daily basis. So what can we do to help limit the body burden that we're putting on our body and our liver on a daily basis?
So when it comes to that tipping point moment where someone's experiencing symptoms and they have been for a while, and what they're doing just isn't working, and they realize that they need to flip. For you, that happened quite abruptly. So you're in a hospital in Philadelphia suffering from C. diff colitis, and you got a call from your insurance company based on something that your doctor said. What happened there?
Yeah, it was crazy. So it was my human resources department at my corporate job. I was on disability, and they said, "We think you're kidding because you're blogging," which was just mind-blowing to me. And I was in so much pain on a morphine drip. And I said, I turned to my parents and I said, "I'm never going back to corporate America ever again. They don't care about me. They don't care about my health. And I'm going to dedicate my life to helping other people and to figuring me out, figuring out what is ailing me and what's going on, because I know I'm not crazy and I know it's not all in my head."
Absolutely. So what kind of perspective or mindset tool would you like to give people who are making this transition towards, I don't want to say alternative medicine, but what it is that you and I do, and addressing things like, the parasite infections that people can have, or the chronic fatigue or toxicity with heavy metals? Like, what would be your wisdom there for people getting into this world?
Let's see. So I wrote about a lot of this in my new book, which will be out in 2 weeks. So what I really have been working with people on is like saying, you know, gosh, there's so many things that can go on in your body, so many things that can go wrong in your body. But if you just take everything and lay everything out for yourself and organize yourself and get a binder and get all your medical records together and start to put the pieces together yourself, you start to realize all the answers that you need are inside. Like, these doctors are wonderful and it's great. I've learned that you can't just work with one doctor. You need a team of doctors who are specialists in different things. One might be your thyroid, one might be the gut, one might be heavy metals, but I never found one doctor who would help me with everything. And that was one thing that actually hurt me in the beginning, because I always wanted to just see one doctor, but it always backfired. So definitely finding a team of people who can help you, and even people who are not doctors, because energy work is obviously so wonderful as well. And then really thinking to yourself, I had to put all my pieces together. So what are you doing on a daily basis? What are you eating? Like, when are you bloated? When do you get the headache? Like, start to put these connections together for yourself and really figure out, map it out. And then you really should be helping your doctor. You guys should be working together, helping him, you know, letting him know what's going on. And then he can help, you know, put some answers together. But that's really how I figured it out. I mean, it's just, I just kept pushing and pushing and pushing and looking for information and trying to understand the missing links. But I have to tell you, once I stopped trying to force everything to be perfect and to get stuck being angry about being sick and why is this happening to me, you start to realize this is happening for me and there's a reason for this and everything happens in life for a reason. And if I just start to be still and relax and rest into my body, all the answers will come to you. But I think that's one of the biggest things too, is really understanding how, like, to listen, because there's messages all day, every day going, like, coming to you right in front of your face. But a lot of us are stressed out, exhausted, and not looking, because we just want, you know, we want the pill to make us feel better. And I was there too. You know, I didn't want to deal with, you know, 3 years of acupuncture. I was like, get me out of here. I just want a pill. But you start to realize, you know, these things are really helping you. And listen to what people are telling you or what you're hearing or what you're reading, without being fanatical about it. But that's really one of the biggest things that helped me, because I think it's so important to start to listen to your body.
Mm. That leads on perfectly to what I wanted to talk about next. So you say there is no one ideal diet, and if you eat something and it makes you feel terrible, it does not matter what anyone else has said about that food. It's just not for you. So do you want to talk about the importance of really taking some time and putting in some effort to actually noticing what happens when you eat foods, whether it's good or whether it's bad? Because I feel like this is such a hugely important tool. It's probably the only tool that people really need to have when it comes to nutrition.
Oh, definitely. So in my book, I laid out a 21-day elimination diet plan and then a 7-day reintroduction process. So what I did was really take people through step by step, no gluten, no dairy, no soy, no refined sugar, no eggs, no corn, no white flours or all-purpose flours, nothing from a can, you know, and a few other ingredients that we left out. But I take them through this process very slowly and have them remove these foods. And I give them about 230 recipes in the book without any of those foods. So all the recipes are detox approved. Everything from ice cream to brownies to, you know, salads and pizzas that are clean and one ingredient whole foods put together to make a meal. But then I slowly bring people through a 7-day reintroduction period where they then slowly start adding in one at a time these different foods very, very slowly. And it's done a certain way. But that's really how I help a lot of clients start to understand. But the thing is, you really have to go slow with the reintroduction process. There's a very specific way that you need to do it, which I've outlined in the book, because you might get a headache from eating corn 4 days after you ate corn. You know, it's not about eating the food and then getting bloated right away or getting a headache right away or getting a rash right away. It happens. It can happen a few days later, and it can come in a very weird, you know, manifest in a very weird kind of symptom. So it's really about keeping your mind open and keeping, you know, being aware of your body and being really in tune with your body, you know. And I know we're all busy and stressed out, but it's like, you gotta try for it.
So some of the things that I noticed just based on reading your book, what was it that I had written down here? You're good with things like almond milk and quinoa. You can handle those. For me, they're a killer. But also on the same note, I mean, you and I both don't methylate properly, but I know people who cannot handle things like avocado, and you and I are both fine with that, even though our livers don't work necessarily as well as they could. So, like, how important do you think it is to be writing down what you actually eat, or journaling, or doing a body language log or something like that? What would be your tips for people around that?
Oh, I think it's so important, and that's why I put a journal in there, because that's really what helped me figure it out. Because exactly, quinoa and almond milk are healthy, avocados are healthy, tomatoes are healthy, but in some people, they can't touch them. I mean, some people can't have any grains, some people can't have any raw vegetables, some people can only eat raw vegetables. I mean, we are all so different.
Then there's a flip side to that as well, because I know people who might be able to, who would, if you gave them a coffee at like 8 o'clock at night, they'd be up all night. If I tried that, I'd be okay. So there's, it can go both ways as well. I wouldn't do it very often. But if you wanted to, I could do that.
I could not. I can't even have a sip of coffee at 9 a.m. I would be up all night. So exactly, it just goes to show how different we all are. And it's pretty amazing. So that's why the journaling is really important, you know, to understand what's going on and to make sure you're pinpointing every food. But exactly, like something with almond milk, unless you're making your own almond milk, I put a recipe for almond milk in my book. But unless you're eating real almond milk just from almonds, if you're having one from like a brand, there's like 10 ingredients in there, carrageenan and salts and sugars, or you don't know what you're reacting to. You know, it's like soy. You could eat like, you know, something with soy in it and you could react and be like, oh, it's soy. But then you have like edamame and you're fine. So it's like, start adding back those one ingredient foods for those ingredients and then see how they work on your body.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, another point that you make throughout your book is that eating clean needs no defense. So it's obviously challenging for anyone to try and cut out things like eggs and gluten and sugar and alcohol and soy, and then try and eat with the rest of society, whether it's you're out to dinner or you're at a dinner party or something like that. Why do you say that eating clean needs no defense?
I mean, because it's really like, I mean, I've lived in Manhattan for 10 years. I rarely eat out because it's hard for me to eat out. And it is like going to dinner parties. I bring my own food, or holidays, I have my own food. But I mean, I just can't eat those other foods. I'd feel sick for weeks. Like, it's just not worth it for me. So it's like, stop worrying about what everyone else thinks and trying to make everybody else happy and just eat what works for you. Like, everyone's like, oh, I'm so nervous to ask for no onions on my salad. My waitress will hate me. Or, oh, I'm so scared to tell this woman, my aunt at Thanksgiving, that I can't have sweet potatoes. I'm like, just tell them. Like, it's your body. You own your body.
I bet if it was a cat allergy, people wouldn't be afraid to mention it. No one goes near cats if they're allergic to them, but we'll go near foods if we're allergic to them.
Totally. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy, right?
It's funny. I would happily be rude about someone's cat, because I know cats. I don't know if this is something that I created in my mind because I just genuinely don't like him, but I would happily tell someone, I don't want to be anywhere near your cat. But people would eat food at the risk of offending someone that would give them a headache or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I'm not, I can't, like, animals, I'm not a big cat person either. But I'm always like, I can't be near your cat. But food, I've never had a problem with it. I just never had a problem with it. So I don't really understand why some people do have a problem with it. But I'm totally respectful. And I really just walk a lot of my clients through it. And I say, you know, you have to come to terms where you have so much self-love for yourself that you're not going to deal with 3 weeks of bloating and like diarrhea and headaches after you had that food that your body told you not to eat. You're just not listening to your body, and you're not in tune with your body. And if you're not in tune with your body, nothing's going to work, right? You have to give them a little like nudge.
Yeah, exactly. Now, on this topic of detox, basically, like, really generally speaking, detoxing means bringing less things in that can pollute your body than your body is actually able to get rid of. Now, what do you see, or what would you define a pollutant as, or something that can be toxic to the body?
Definitely. So any kind of like chemical, you know, anything that's in, you know, a processed canned food or boxed food that has a lot of chemicals in it, you know, anything that's really conventional, because it really has pesticides and herbicides all over it, especially animal products like conventional eggs, meats, chicken, turkey. But obviously if you're eating organic animal protein, that's totally fine. I left my book and my website strictly plant-based, vegetarian, vegan, but that doesn't, there's no doesn't say vegetarian or vegan on it. And I say inside, if you want to add animal protein, you know, add it on top. Add a piece of organic chicken on top, whatever works for you. But I think it's really about lessening the body burden and getting as many chemicals out of your life as you can. I mean, even seafood is very polluted with heavy metals. I mean, you can't be eating like a lot of seafood every week, right? So I think it's really just something to be mindful of. It's like everything in balance.
Now, what about getting these pollutants out? How does that work, and how can we do that, or how can we help our bodies do that nutritionally?
Definitely. So really, it's about supporting your body on a daily basis. So I put I have 3 pages of medical testing in the back of the book for methylation, everything you need to know about that, how you would need, which I'm sure, do you take methylated B12 and methylated folate?
I have in the past. I'm not at the moment.
Yeah, I actually, that's so funny you said that. I was going to ask you earlier. I was taking it for probably the past 3 years, and I just took a break. I think it's good to sometimes give your body a break. So I haven't done it in about 2 months either. But so also like really helping your body detox. So skin brushing and Epsom salt baths, and these things are helping draw the toxins out of your body. Infrared saunas, you know, different things like that. Getting at least 8 hours of sleep, because when you're sleeping, as you know, that's when your body's detoxing. So when you wake up and you've only slept 5 hours and you feel like hell, that headache and that feeling is because your body didn't detox at night. You're still full of, you know, your body's tired.
So what are some foods that we could actually eat then that the liver can use the ingredients or the nutrients in to actually help itself run better and get rid of these pollutants?
Definitely. I mean, cruciferous vegetables are wonderful. So cabbage, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, broccoli rabe is great. You know, any kind of cruciferous vegetable is wonderful. That's really, you know, those are the key foods. Radishes are really great as well. They just kind of help flush everything out, as well as for hormones. I do a lot of cabbage, and I do a lot of broccoli, cauliflower, you know, roast it with some olive oil. It's great.
Now, what about these external pollutants as well that we can have running around us? So you mentioned a few earlier, you said plastic wrapping on food and all that kind of stuff. Now, if we expand this out and go big picture, pretty much everything, like I'm sitting in a room right now looking around, there's a whiteboard next to me that I write on, and then there's probably paint fumes from the pens flying all over the place. There's a TV. I do have a little cactus plant that reverses the damage of some of this, but pretty much everything, the carpet as well, could be damaging here. Where do people need to look for the biggest, most impactful stuff that's not necessarily food?
Definitely, and I lay this all out in my book. I talk about the home, how you can detox your home. So everything from your carpet, you know, to your paint, to your, you know, I mean, a lot of our couches and different things have formaldehyde on. A lot of the paint has toxic fumes, you know, different things like that. So, and the carpet, like the plastic on the back of the carpet is all toxic. So you have to really let your products in your home off gas. So keeping the windows open, letting the off use, you know, it's like when you sit in a new car, do you smell that? Yeah. That's toxic. When you walk through a department store and you smell all of the perfume and different thing, and you're like, oh my God, do you know what I'm talking about? Your stomach's hurt.
I have not been in a shopping center for a long time, specifically because of that reason.
Yeah, same thing. I can't remember the last time I was in a mall. And you get like a stomach ache or a headache because it's toxic. Your body's like, what is all this crap? It's, you know, it's like inhaling cigarette smoke all day. So yeah, that's why it's really important, you know, getting an air purifier, or, you know, just having some sort of getting plants, right? I list all the plants in my book that go into, you know, helping detox some of the toxins. I have to get a new plant. You just reminded me.
So I want to get to like the how-to of getting rid of these toxins in a second. But in your book, actually, you wrote about a typical toxic morning. And you said, if you're not sure where toxins could be originating, here's a really quick example of a typical morning full of potentially toxic exposures. So you said you wake up in a bed that's made with off-gassing foams, including toluene, stain-resistant perfluorotannic acid, fire-retardant chemicals, and then you get up and walk across your synthetic carpet to the bathroom where you brush your teeth made with fluoride using tap water filled with chemicals, and you rinse with mouthwash that may contain formaldehyde and ammonia as well as colors, and you go through a whole person's average morning here, and, oh, excuse me, and looking at this, this is pretty intimidating. So if we wanted to change this kind of stuff, is it best to go big or to go small?
You know, you can start in small steps, and that's what I talk about in my book. I don't want people running around their home, like, throwing things out, thinking they're going to die, because you're not. But it's really just about starting slow. So I brush my teeth with coconut oil and tea tree oil. You know, I wash my face with organic face wash. You know, different things like that that you can start to, you know, toss things out of your cabinets and put new, you know, cleaner products in. And that's, I go through in my book in a chart of the products that you should avoid, the ingredients that you should avoid, the ingredients that you can use that are safe. And then I give you brand name products that I really like and that are safe.
Do you think that it's absolutely essential for people to pay attention to everything that you talk about, or not everything that you talk about, but everything that could be potentially toxic? Or do you think the human body really should, if it's healthy enough and working properly, be able to deal with a lot of these things? Maybe not all of them, but a lot of them.
Oh, I agree. I think that the human body should be, and we do, we detox on a daily basis, but it's 2016 and the amount of toxins we're exposed to on a daily basis is nothing like what any of our ancestors have, even what our parents were exposed to. I mean, the number of chemicals that we're bombarded with on a daily basis are insane. And it really also comes down to, you know, how, if you're really sick and you need some help, like, I mean, number one, you've got to lessen the body burden of all this stuff going on. If you're in perfect health and you're feeling great, just start to be mindful of some changes that you can make, you know, so that down the road, you know, your body is still healthy. So I think it also is really dependent on who the person is and what their state of health is.
Now let's talk about that mindset of getting into a routine where you're addressing this. Now, it's pretty fair to say that detoxing, and this might confuse a lot of the listeners, but to you and I, this makes a lot of sense, is actually quite a lot easier than exercising. Now, people know that exercise is something that we're meant to do, and everyone just knows that it's good for us. But if you think about it rationally, it's a lot harder than detoxing. Like, it's a lot harder to go and run around and get really sweaty on a treadmill for an hour than it is to just shop somewhere else for your food, or buy slightly different dishwashing liquid, or do dry brushing, or drink more water, or any of the things that you say. Like, it, exercise is literally one of the most stressful things that we could do, but yet everyone does it because we're so conditioned to believe that it's, well, correctly conditioned to believe that it's good for us. But yet not everyone's on board with this detox thing right now, so it looks like it's the hardest thing in the world to do to begin addressing all these kind of areas. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a great, great point. I mean, I love that. It's a great analogy to use. You know, I think it's because, you know, we've been told for years, you know, exactly, we're conditioned to exercise on a daily basis, and that for weight loss or for health or for heart health. And again, that's wonderful. But I don't think that, like I said before, we've never been in a situation like we're in right now, being bombarded by everything we're bombarded by, right? Like, just look around your home and the plastics and the toxins and the hairspray and the toothpaste and the sunscreen and the shampoo and the conditioner and the chapstick, and it's just like, you know, the carpeting. I mean, it's like crazy, but like, you can't go nuts, right? But you
just
can,
like,
be
mindful. People shouldn't expect to walk into a gym and be perfect and amazing and have everyone looking going, this person's amazing, in their first workout, right?
Totally. And a big celebrity trainer just said to me the other day, I was at lunch with her, and she said, you know, all these magazines keep coming up to me and saying, what are your 4 tips to get Beachbody ready? And she's like, you can't get Beachbody ready in 4 tips. And I said, that's amazing, because we have to let media know, like, you can't detox in 4 little steps. Like, it's a lifestyle. Like, exercising, it's a lifestyle. You can't starve yourself and go to the gym every day for like a year. You're going to end up with like anorexia or some kind of hypothyroidism, or something is going to, your body is going to backfire. You know, you've got to love your body and make little steps along the way.
I wish there could be more people who would hear that, because that is so important. It's not about being perfect straight away and, oh, well, can I get this in a month or so? It's just, can I move forward a little bit in a month? And then the next month, can I move forward a little bit more? And then the next month, can I move a little bit further forward? And then it just becomes a lot easier.
Exactly.
So I wanted to talk about this issue as well of nutrient deficiency and how it affects toxicity. Now, the example that I use is that the body has 2 different kinds of hunger. It's really hungry for calories because it needs carbohydrates for energy and fat to go and make good hormones and new brain cells and all that kind of stuff. And we obviously need protein to make new muscle tissue and all that kind of stuff. But then there's a second kind of hunger, which is hunger for nutrients, because the body needs those for different reasons. What's the story with those, and how are they related to this conversation about detoxing?
Definitely. Well, our body needs nutrients to detox on a daily basis. I mean, you've got phase one detox and phase two detox. I was actually going to put them in the book, but I didn't because I thought it would be a little bit over people's heads. But, you know, I think that people just need to realize you need nutrients on a daily basis to detox. So if you're eating junk food on a daily basis or pretzels for lunch, you know, that's not supporting your body. You know, it's not giving your body the information that it needs to function on a daily basis. Like our food is really information.
Hang on 1 second. Why do you use that word information?
So really because I say in my book, 100 calories from an avocado is completely different than 100 calories from like 100 calorie pack of Oreos that they sell. So that's why you can't really count calories, because the 100 calories in the avocado are nutritious and they're full of healthy fats to help fight inflammation. And they've got, you know, nutrients and vitamins and minerals, all this kind of great stuff, just like all, you know, vegetables and, you know, nuts, seeds, berries, things like that. But 100 calorie pack from like cookies is nutrient void. There's nothing in it. It is white flour, it's sugar, and it's like 30 ingredients that you can't pronounce, that I can't pronounce, that your body can't identify, and it's information your body can't read. So it's going in and out and it's just causing inflammation. You know, that's inflammatory. You know what I mean?
So it's like a double-edged sword here. So you eat something that's nutrient or low in nutrients, but high in chemicals, that causes inflammation to the body. And then because the body actually needs these nutrients to run, it has to respond to that by trying to detoxify and heal itself. But there are no nutrients there because there never was any from the food in the first place.
Exactly. Exactly.
Fascinating. So what would be your advice for people to get around that micronutrient issue then?
You know, so in my book, I talk about eating one ingredient foods because I think that's so, so important and interesting. And you can base your entire day and, you know, your meals, your snacks, your dessert, everything off of eating foods, like one ingredient foods, and making recipes out of them. So that's why in my book, I have over 200 recipes and, you know, it's all one ingredient foods. There's no all-purpose flours. There's no xanthan gum. There's no binders. It is literally, you know, cocoa powder, coconut milk, you know, ice creams out of coconut milk. Like your recipes are one ingredient foods. It's herbs, it's vegetables, it's nuts, it's seeds. There's cheeses that I make out of nuts and seeds. There's tapenades. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can, you know, make salad dressings and you know, drizzles and dips and all these fun things without having to add, you know, ingredients that you can't pronounce. You know, everything that you eat should be made up of one ingredient foods. I'm not saying that you have to eat one ingredient food all day, meaning like what's in your lunch. You know, it's a salad, it's lettuce, one ingredient food, an apple, one ingredient food, olive oil, one ingredient food, avocado. You know what I mean? So you take all these simple one ingredient foods and you put them together to make your meals and snacks instead of taking like a processed peanut butter that's got 20 ingredients on it and using that, you use an almond butter, which is one ingredient of almonds.
Now, does this have to be really boring? Because if you came up to me probably, how long ago would it have been? Maybe 8 years ago when I was trying to lose weight and I was eating, like I had this habit where I would eat certain foods, like they were just my comfort food. So I'll give you an easy one. I would eat mint slices, which are just like minty kind of gel stuff inside chocolate, because I don't know if they've got those in America or mint slices specifically, but they were like these minty biscuit thing. And if you told me that I had to go and try and do this healthy eating thing, probably the hardest thing would have been giving that up. But that doesn't necessarily have to be the case anymore, because I can't recall seeing one in your book. I've got the recipe part open in front of me now, but there are minty, chocolatey things that you can eat that won't ruin your detox system. And there are a million of them.
There's a million of them. My dessert chapter is amazing. I have brownies, I have ice creams, I have cookies, I have, you know, cobblers. I mean, you name it, I have it. And everything is, you know, no refined sugar, no gluten, no dairy, no soy, no eggs. So yeah, the dessert chapter is probably my favorite chapter. It's got a lot of really, really great recipes and tips and, you know, just ways that you can create flavor above and beyond, you know, using processed foods. You know, coconut flour, almond flour. You know, you can even use, you know, raw nuts and seeds that I make for my chocolate tart. You can use coconut flakes, cocoa powder, different things like that.
So If we compare this to exercise, then going back to that example for a second, the way that you're talking about detoxing is like the way that you're doing things right now is mostly okay, but there's just needs to be a few tweaks. Mm-hmm. Whereas with exercise, it's like you need to go and start doing this thing an hour every single day. And it is literally the most stressful thing you can do to your body, short of like having surgery or something like that. So do you think this is more important for people to address first and foremost if they're trying to get healthy rather than exercise? Not saying that exercise isn't important, but is this like the first step is just getting this kind of stuff drilled, because it is, once you get into it, not that difficult?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you can't be working out every day and eating junk. It's not doing anything for you. So, I mean, I don't exercise. I just walk around Manhattan, you know, New York City where I live. That's my exercise. So you just get out and go for your walk every day and get your heart rate up, or do something, you know, like some jumping jacks, some sit-ups, do something to keep yourself active so you're not just sitting all day, and you learn how to eat clean. I mean, that's the combination you want. You don't want to be going to the gym for an hour every day and then going home and eating, you know, processed foods. That's not fighting inflammation at all. That's doing nothing for your body. It's actually stressing out your adrenals and your body even more because of the sugar and the chemicals and all that you're eating. And then you put all this, you know, pressure on yourself to exercise. So.
Absolutely. Well, there's all kinds of tips like this and many others in your book, which is called Eating Clean, which I genuinely did love that book, Amy. It's full of little tips. The one that got me, and I thought, damn it, she's got me. You said you need to introduce at least one new food into your diet every single week. And I thought,
I know. You know, it's funny. I was at the health food store and I bought like daikon radish and, you know, different things. It's like, yeah, it's easy. You can just start adding in small little things.
But I saw that and I was like, I'm not doing that at all. Like, there's this thing in this healthy supermarket.
I know, because we get in routines. We get in routines we like. Oh, I'm the same way. I'm like, I've eaten the same lunch every day for the last 3 months. I'm like, I got to do something different. And you start getting sick of food.
Yeah.
Like, I even last week, I was like, I looked at my fridge and I was like, there is nothing that I want to eat in here. Like, I'm bored with my food. So I whipped out my cookbook and started making, you know, recipes. So, yeah, thank you. I'm excited that you like it. I'm really excited. There are a lot of books called Eating Clean. So if you type in my name in the subtitle, you know, on Amazon or wherever, it will pop up.
The best place to go would be thehealthyapple.com and just scroll down until you see the cover for Amy's book. But I tell you what, there are these things, I don't know if you've ever heard of one, I had never heard of one, called dragon fruits at this tasty or this healthy supermarket near me. And I saw one, I was like, what is a dragon fruit? And now you've inspired me by saying, don't be so boring, go and get some different fruit, to go and get myself a dragon fruit. I'm going to be Googling how to eat a dragon fruit this afternoon because of your book.
That is so great. Seriously, you have to let me know how you like it.
I'm going to. I'll shoot you an email about that next week.
Yay! Goody, goody.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Amy. As always, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you and sharing your wisdom. Is there any closing comments you'd like to leave people with if they may be about to embark on this detox lifestyle, to help them understand that it is achievable and doable?
It is. And if I can say anything, you know, if I can do it by myself, in my 20s, living alone and very sick, and I can come out of it, you know, with a kitchen the size of like a pin needle in Manhattan, anybody can do it. And I think if more people realize what an important role that they have in their own health, that they can change the life, you know, the quality of their life forever. And don't let some doctor tell you that you're crazy and that it's all in your head. I mean, I was told that for 10 years and turns out that I was not crazy. So you know more. You know your body better than anyone. You can take, you know, guidance from them, but all your guidance should come from here and what feels good to you, whether it's food, exercise, whatever it may be. And I really hope that my book inspires, you know, your readers, and, you know, my website as well with my new recipes and all of that. So thank you for having me. This was really fun.
Thank you for joining me, Amy. It's been a lovely Sunday morning talking to you. Hope you have a good rest of your week.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Bye.
Authentic Wellness Radio.